I want to read you from three scriptures in the Gospel, John chapter 1. And they tell us about the subject today, which is the influence of others on the choices we make for good and bad. The influences of others. John chapter 1, verse 29. On the morrow, John the Baptist seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35. Again on the morrow, John was standing, and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, Mark chapter 6. Verse 22. And when the daughter of Herodias herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod, and them that sat at meat with him. And the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it unto thee, unto the half of my kingdom. And she went out and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked him, saying, I will that thou forthwith give me on a platter the head of John Baptist. Now, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 17. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. Verse 20. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But the governor answered and said unto them, Which of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What then shall I do unto Jesus, who is called Christ? They all say, Let him be crucified. Let us speak right again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that these portions of Scripture impress us about the gravity of life, how casual we are, and what we do, and what we say, and how we act. We've seen, our God, the consequences of life. That was said to us, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we desire today, our God, to understand about the influence exerted upon us by others. Others like ourselves, and others not like ourselves. So our Father, that something of lasting good may be accomplished, we beseech thee to work upon the hearts of those who are here. Who can work a good thing in the heart of man apart from thy Spirit? So by thy Spirit, work. Has he not been sent from heaven to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment? So grant that, our Father, and may he illumine us, and also may he empower that words spoken may be effectual, and also may he take the things of Christ and show them unto us, that Jesus Christ our Lord may be glorified. You know our sins we confess them. Thou hast promised that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. And that is what we do. So bless us this hour, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. It is hard to think of even one thing that we do that is not influenced by the thought, the action, the behavior of others. And at the same time, in the scripture, you see so often how people are trying to influence people of God, and others are seeking to exert upon them a different influence. Think for a moment, the very first influence exerted upon man. Here is a tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And God warns about that tree. He says, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then the serpent, under the control of Satan, comes and says, thou shalt not surely die. You see, at the very first, influences, divine influences and hellish influences, seeking to get man to make a choice for good or for bad. When this happens, the influence in the case of Eve that was exerted by the serpent was successful. She did not do this of herself. Had she been left to herself, it would not have been done. But it says in Timothy that Eve was deceived by the serpent. So understand, her choice was influenced by Satan, and her choice was for evil, and she bore the consequences. All right. Not only did Eve fall, but Adam fell as well. It says that Eve ate, and she brought of the fruit and gave unto her husband, and he ate as well. So, Adam was not deceived, but he was influenced by his wife, and her influences caused him to make a wrong choice. So here are choices that are made, and they are not independently arising from within, but they have outside influences from God and from Satan. Almost everything that happens is always that way, and whenever we do something that's wrong, most of the time we seek to blame it on others. When Eve sinned, she said, the serpent beguiled me. She is acknowledging that she was influenced by the serpent. But she made a choice, and the choice was influenced by the serpent. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Then we come to Adam, and God questions him, and he says, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate. Do you understand? He said, I was influenced by this woman. But it makes no difference. They were influenced, and their influence caused them to make wrong choices, and once the wrong choices were made, they bore the consequences. So what you and I are trying to do as we go through life is to dissociate ourselves and absolve ourselves of all guilt and responsibility of what we do because of the influence of others. And God acknowledges that there are influences in our lives, but the influence in our life, whether good or bad, the choice that we make, we are responsible for that choice that we make, because God has put in us the ability to say no to sin as well as yes to sin. And you may point to the serpent and say, Satan made me do it. God will acknowledge it. Yes, he made you do it, and you are going to smart for it. The woman that you gave me, she made me do it. God says, yes, and you're going to smart for it. So, the choice that you make, no matter what influence caused you to make that choice, God is still holding you responsible for it. And so for that reason, and this is what makes me afraid, the great power in our lives that influence the choices that other men and women make. I'm thinking of this now. When I was 17 years old, I decided to join the Navy. And I think back now, what made me do it, I was still in school, and a fellow that had dropped out of school named Robert Penny had joined the Navy. He was all dressed up, a military man. He had money. He was telling me about his travel. He had no worries about clothing, food, where he slept. Everything was secure. And I said, that sounds like a wonderful thing. And so I went and I joined the Navy. I was influenced by this man's example, by what he told me, and I made the choice to join the Navy. Another thing, and I think of it now, is this. When I got out of the Navy, the government gave me 4 years of schooling, and I wondered where I should go to school, and Lester Wilson was in Raleigh, North Carolina at that time, and I mentioned to him that I had 4 years of schooling. Where should I go? And he said, why go to a mess up in Canada? I said, why, yes. And so this man told me of this school about which I knew nothing, and I went to Canada. And I brought someone back with me from Canada, and you all know who she is. But understand, this man recommended that school, and that influenced my choice, and I went to Canada. So I think of casual things that were spoken, that were done, and they had great effects upon my life, the choices that I made. And sad to say, and I wish I could reverse this, there is something that was requested of me that I once did for a friend that brought him ill and not good. I knew many musicians in Raleigh, and the musicians were of a different nature than the others that I was associated with, but I knew them. I studied music, and I had influence concerning these people, and a fellow that I had gone to school with asked me to introduce him to one of these musicians. And now, that you might understand it, I'll tell you this way. I said, yes, I will introduce you to that man. And I took this innocent friend of mine and introduced him to this musician of hard rock, vile sounding music. And immediately his heart was won over by all of those that worship this kind of music. And I've never seen him. I only know that he became a part of that which was evil. You say, well, you can't blame yourself for that. Yes. He said, I want you to introduce me to this man. And the fact that I would introduce him to that man, it caused him to become involved, and for that reason, I am held responsible. Now, he will be held responsible as well. But understand, it was my fault. And this is what I've discovered. I see that the influences that we make on people to do evil are much quicker and much easier to be successful than the attempts and influences we exert upon other people to do good. This is not strange. I introduced this man to a person that was evil. Immediately he responded and became a part of them. And now, for scores of years, I have been telling people about Jesus Christ, to trust Him as Savior, to do good, to turn from evil. And all the influence that I exert, all the words that I exert, how few have ever said, yes, I want to trust this Savior, this man named Jesus. I want him to become my friend. How few of them have done that. And yet, all I have to do is to tell you evil things and how quickly you will respond to them. I recall this. I was driving years ago down Hillsborough Street, and a man came and said, can you tell me where the liquor store is? And as I recall, I refused to tell him where it was. He said, well, what's wrong with it? Because had I told him, then I would have influenced his life for evil. And also, if he asked me, where is the Jehovah's Witnesses Watchtower Society? I would say, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you any information. So do you understand that there are things that we can tell people and they seem so casual, so unimportant, and yet they have great influences upon men, especially for evil, and that is what is so frightening. And that is why the Savior says, you shall give an account of every word that you speak. So therefore, the way that I live, the words that I speak, the advice that I give to others, God is holding me responsible. I mentioned the light. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Be thou an ensample to them that believe in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. And you say, how will that influence people? When Peter and John were speaking to the ones that had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, when they saw the boldness of these men, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. People look at your life, and the way that you live influences people. And Peter was told to be an ensample to them that believe. And so without saying a word, you can influence people for good. This is what God says to the women in the first epistle of Peter. It says that you wives that have been talking and talking and talking and trying to convert your husband, he said, without a word, without saying anything else, by your chaste behavior, by your godliness, win your husband to Christ. So we are influencing others, whether we like it or not. The way we dress, the way we speak, the practices that are in our lives, we are influencing others, and it's so easy for them to be misunderstood. I like mostly classical music, but once, about 15 or 20 years ago, I heard a secular song about freedom. It was 1776, and it was a secular song about freedom, and I enjoyed that song, and I mentioned it to some young people, one young person in particular. And that one young person went and told others, and the word got round, why, John Mills is crazy about this popular singer. I'd never heard him sing any other song in my life. I didn't know who he was. But I heard this song about freedom, and I enjoyed it. A casual word you speak. Now, I could wish that I casually mentioned the Lord Jesus is a wonderful Savior, and I wish young people would take that and spread it to the ends of the earth. But, alas, that's not the way the mystery of iniquity works. They listen carefully. They're influenced so easily by the evil things you do, you say. But it seems like the good things you say, they're ever so hard, because we are by nature already evil. And what God is seeking to do is by the good things we tell other people to make them new creatures in Christ Jesus. And therefore, it's easy for a man who is evil to choose the evil. But how difficult for a man to turn from evil because he's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Therefore, I've given you three examples about those that influence other people for good or for bad. Think now. Here is John the Baptist. Before the Lord Jesus came on the scene, men were following him. But his heart was right, and therefore he said, the Lord Jesus must increase. I must decrease. So whenever he had the opportunity, when the Lord Jesus was before his eyes, he said to those people that were around him, behold, the Lamb of God. That meant that if they looked at Jesus and followed him, he would lose his disciples. Again, it says he saw the Lord Jesus walking, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And two of Christ's choice disciples followed the Savior that day. John, the beloved apostle, and Andrew heard John when he spoke, and they followed the Lord Jesus. Now, think of this. If I, as I go through life, when the opportunity arises, if I can tell people about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, then God is going to give me credit for the good words that I speak and for every soul that is won, even when its souls is wise. You say, do you mean that you simply say, behold the Lamb of God, that God is going to give you credit for that? Let me ask you this. Suppose I simply say, this is the place where evil takes place, and people go there. Will God hold me responsible? You say yes. You think that I am guilty because I knew that these men were evil and I introduced an innocent person to these evil men? You say yes. Well then, you think that God is going to give me credit if I speak a word and that eventually that word brings a man to Christ? You say, but it doesn't seem like much. Let me tell you how much it means. Brother Edwards, Reginald Edwards, was a man who spoke to me when I was 12 years old. And after that, for 7 years, I knew nothing about him. But he spoke a word to me. And when I came back 7 years later, having trusted Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God said, why, that man in Raleigh told you that same thing when you were 12 years old. I said, yes, that's right. And I met the man later, spoke to him, and told him about my trusting Christ as Savior, because he had spoken a word to me in season 7 years before. And so let us cast our bread upon the waters. Let us speak a word here or there. It may not bear fruit for 7 years. It may take a lifetime. But the Spirit of God is able to raise up that word. Because what we say and do, whether few words or many words, whether a kind action just in the sight of men, it influences others. And this is what we have in the case of John the Baptist. Think, he simply said, behold the Lamb of God. And they followed the Lord Jesus. Yes, there was much background. But finally, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the Spirit worked upon their hearts, and they followed the Lord Jesus, and their lives were forever changed. And so that is what God wants me to do, to be. He wants me to be an influence on others for good and not for evil. And I thank God that whereas in my youth I may have introduced some to people that were disreputable, I say that for the rest of my life now, I have been introducing people to the one who is the fairest of 10,000, who is the lily of the valleys, who is God's only begotten Son. And I know that the word spoken will not return unto God void. So remember, here is a man who spoke and he influenced other people for good, and they made choices and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, the other that I read to you about was an individual. two that I read about were individuals. John the Baptist, an individual, and Herodias, an individual, a man and a woman. So influence is exerted not only by men, but by women as well. And in this case, it was a man influencing other men concerning a good thing that should be done. But in the case of Herodias, she had a daughter, and she came in and performed this dance before these sinful men. And when she finished, the king was so impressed that he promised to give her the half of his kingdom. And as children should, she came and asked her mother what to give. How often children ask too late, should I have done this? Should I have done that? But this daughter came and asked her mother, told her in her excitement what her opportunity was, and her mother, without a moment's hesitation, said, the head of John the Baptist. Think of this now. Here is this young girl with her life before her. She can have the half of Herod's kingdom. And her mother says, ask the head, John the Baptist. And it says straightway, that young girl went and asked Herod for her mother's request. He gave it her. Now think. Here is the testimony, the influence of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God! And that influence caused them to choose Christ as Savior. And here is a young girl that asks her mother, what should I do? And the mother says, ask the head of John the Baptist. And her influence caused her daughter to choose death for herself and her mother as well as John the Baptist. All of you who have children, you remember this, you mothers and fathers. When they come and ask you what they should do and what they should not do, you be careful what you tell them, because the choices they make will result in life and death. If your children come and say, here is a fellow, he's fine, he's reputable, but he doesn't know Christ as Savior, may I go with him? The answer is, no, you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Here is a questionable place of amusement that I should go. May I go? No, you may not go. If children will come and ask you whether they love you or hate you for it, you cannot tell them. You cannot advise them to choose that which will result in death. And I know to this day, and I'm thinking of it, this dear brother who, when his children wanted to go to the beaches for parties and for all of the orgies that they have when they get out alone, this father said, no, you will not go. You will not go. And his children hated him for it. But now, in their maturity, when their children are wanting to go into sin, they are seeing not the mistake their father made, not the severity of their father, but the wisdom and love of their father. And the father said, no, you cannot. At the time, they hate me. And I'm thinking this, that someday I had to stand before God and my child, because of the permission I gave to do evil, was being relegated to hell, the torture curse, I would hate for that child and look and say, you told me I could go there. You said it was all right for me to go there. And so rather be hated by your children in telling them the good things to do, rather than being loved, as the world calls love, by permitting your children to do the evil things in the world. The influence of a mother, this is what it says. It says that there was another mother in the Old Testament whose own mother was Jezebel. You have two women and the great influence that they had upon others. I will just tell you about one. Most of us know about Jezebel. The other one was Athaliah, her daughter. And Athaliah married one of the kings of the southern kingdom named Jehoram. And it said that when she married him, her husband walked in all the wicked ways of the northern kingdom and their king because he married the daughter of Ahab. Here is a king whose father had been a good man, but he married a wicked woman's daughter, and that wicked wife of his influenced him and caused him to be destroyed. Now, that's not enough. This woman had a son, and when she saw that her husband was dead, she went and killed all the other children, her grandchildren. And not only that, but she influenced her own son as much as she could, Ahaziah, to do evil. It said that he did wickedly because his mother was his counselor. That's the very word of God. His mother was his counselor. And she counseled him to do evil, to practice the wicked ways of the kings of the north. And he did what his mother said, and she brought his ruin. And she brought her own ruin as well. And now they're both in hell because the influence of this mother was for ill rather than good. So here is a woman named Herodias. Her daughter says, what shall I do? She says, murder. And here is Athaliah. What shall I do? Follow the wicked, idolatrous rites of your fathers and your relatives. And that is what the child did. The influence that they had, and even though the choice is that of her son, God holds him responsible for the choice that he made, and he holds the mother responsible for influencing him to make that choice. This is the way that God would have us to understand it. Remember that if you influence others for ill, God holds you responsible. I will simply quote this verse. It says, it is impossible but that offenses should come. But woe unto him through whom those offenses come. It were better that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he caused to stumble one of these little ones. For here is one that is causing God's little one to stumble. God holds the person that caused him to stumble responsible. And that little one that did stumble, God holds him responsible as well. It says that if you put away your wife, saving for the cause of fornication, and marry another, you make her an adulteress. You are the one that did it. But whereas you are the one that did it, she is an adulteress as well. Now, this, I've spoken of individuals. It leaves one more. Here is the nation of Israel, represented by those that are present when Jesus Christ has the opportunity to be released. They may have Barabbas, or they may have Jesus. What decision shall we make? It says, the leaders of Israel, those in authority, tell them, choose Barabbas and have Jesus crucified. Now, these innocent people would never have thought of doing that. But it says, the leaders influenced the people, and they said, give us Barabbas. What shall we do with Jesus? Let him be crucified. And so there can be an individual man, an individual woman, or there can be leaders in high places influencing the choices that you make. But understand, the choice is ultimately yours. This is the consolation. Whereas the leaders persuaded most of the Israelites to say, give us Barabbas and not Jesus. It said, Joseph of Arimathea was a good and righteous man. He had not consented unto their counsel and their evil deeds. Understand this. When evil influences come, you do not have to follow those evil influences. You can be like Joseph of Arimathea. You can be like Nicodemus, and you can say no to those evil influences. But being evil and weak and our tendency towards sin, most of the time, the influences come are evil. But understand that God holds us responsible for them all. So let us, in our lives and in our speech, be an example for good and not for ill. May what we tell others result in life and not death. Let us, in our influence upon others, influence them for good. Time is gone. God bless. Let us pray. Our Father, we could wish that we could go through life absolving ourselves from all responsibility of what takes place. But whether we wish it or not, something that we do or say influences another person, and that influence causes them to make a choice for good or ill, and we are held responsible. And our God, when we think of that young woman causing John the Baptist to be put to death, when we think of the nation of Israel causing the Lord Jesus to be put to death, we recall the words of Peter. You deny the Holy and Righteous One, and you ask the murderer be granted unto you, and you deny the Prince of Life. Our God, let us not be influenced by the evil suggestions of others, but let us only be influenced by the good suggestions of men like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and John the Baptist, and let us trust him and love him and follow him, and let us do good, and let us follow Job's example, and let us eschew evil. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.